Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. The end of March, here we are, and what a wreck. What a wreck. But this is a show which I think, while it may leave you a little bit unsettled, it'll certainly leave you scratching your head. And unfortunately, it's going to certainly leave you a little bit angrier than you are when you tuned in. This is a show with hope. Because we can turn this ship around, but it's going to take each and every one of us doing what we need to do. And time is not our ally. I'm going to get into that in detail. In addition, we're going to have our historical story, actually the second part of our historical story. You know, last week I told you about the robber barons of old, the Astors and the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts. By the way, they happen to be their progeny is the robber barons of today. And I picked out one particular robber baron and started telling you a little bit about his history, but I didn't give you his name. And of course, I got a bunch of emails from listeners, and they figured it out. Bill Gates. Yes, Bill Gates is today's robber baron, along with his billionaire buddies and his Davos cabal. Why do I pick him? Because he's the most visible and because he is the most in front, although his entire cabal is behind him, doing their stuff in dark alleys and mysterious ways. He is the face out front of the cabal on this COVID deal, which they're using for what's called the Great Reset. Used to be called the One World Order or the New World Order, but now it's the Great Reset. And when we left off, I had brought you up to speed just on his sordid past as a youth, never mind as a multi-megalomaniac billionaire. We're also going to be talking about gun control, particularly in light of what happened in Colorado and Atlanta, because, folks, there are no coincidences. Let me tell you what I think really is happening there. I've had previous shows on it. And then we're going to be talking about, shall we say, election fraud. You know, there's actually some good news on the election fraud front, finally, way too late. But I'm going to bring you up to speed on some rather startling court cases, some forensic audits, which are now underway and about to be commenced in several states. And I'm going to tie that into what you need to do. And I mean each and every one of us, without fail, need to do and need to start doing like now. Not tomorrow, but now, if we're going to get this ship turned around. Because if we don't, we're not going to get this ship turned around. And then we're going to talk about, of course, China. Ah, yes, China. You know, the Chinese thing threads its way through everything here. Everything. I don't think 99.9% of Americans, and probably only a small fraction of our government, understand exactly how insidious China's influence is and how ferocious is their hatred of America. But you, my listeners, will understand it completely to the extent you already don't from listening to me at the end of the 3 or 4 weeks it's going to take to cover all the shenanigans by the Chinese in concert, which will be tonight's segment, in concert, or should I say this morning's segment, in concert with people who call themselves Americans. Chinese have infiltrated everything. I'm going to start disclosing some of those relationships this morning. So let's get started. When we last left our robber baron of this time period, he, I told you, he kind of started his whole career the same way he's continued it, just on a much grander scale now with billions of dollars in a megalomaniac complex. Supposedly, he started in a garage. He forgot to mention that his father was extremely wealthy, as was his grandfather, and very well connected. And then he had the chutzpah to buy a operating system, make a few minor changes. The guy does not know tech. And then the double chutzpah to sell it, to license it to IBM. Yeah, it's quite amazing. In that respect, you have to take your hat off to him. And then he tried to screw his partner of many years from inception of this entire so-called garage-built company out of his share of the company called Microsoft when his partner got cancer. That should start giving you a feel for the innate personality of this gentleman, who is Bill Gates. Now, Bill Gates has lots of company out there, but he is the face of the COVID and the vaccine. He's kind of the front man for the shadowy bunch of puppeteers that run the world and want to completely control the world through the Great Reset, which used to be called the One World Order or the New World Order. Klaus Schwab, he's the founder of World Economics. Bill Gates is a prominent member of that. And he's the guy who calls the Davos Summit, you know, which Red China attends and several of the G20 nations attend, but it's really all the hobnobbers. It's the Soroses and it's the Gateses. It's that whole crowd. Here's what he said at last year's Davos. We have a short window to get the reset done. This will change the whole way we do business and live. You know, he's exactly right, except for one thing. It doesn't change the way we, as including them, will live or do business. Only us, folks. Their way of doing business doesn't change much at all, other than they go from overt control to complete control. Our friend Mr. Gates, over the last 20 or 30 years, you know, he had a terrible reputation. He was known as like a techno bully and a techno thief and a run rampant outlaw in the tech industry. And he got taken down several pegs when the U.S. Justice Department brought an antitrust suit against Microsoft and split the company into a million parts. Exactly, by the way, what they should do as a side note to Google, to Facebook, to Twitter, and the rest of them. And I don't mean to leave out Apple. They are in there too. So Bill Gates decided to reinvent himself. Bill Gates 2.0. The Bill Gates 2.0 started a huge so-called philanthropic organization. You know, the Gates Foundation. And suddenly he was throwing billions here and billions there, and the press was heralding him as the world's greatest philanthropist. You know, they say the same thing about George Soros. Hopefully some of you went back and listened to my shows on Soros, the Nazi collaborator who turned his own Jewish people into the Nazis and took their belongings. Gates now, he monopolizes, folks. It is exactly the model of the robber barons of old that I told you of last week, except it's in the tech industry for some of them, other industries for others, and in Gates' case, a whole bunch of industries, the tech industry, global health, vaccines, agriculture, food policy, weather modification. Oh, you guys in Texas catching on to this? Climate technology, surveillance, education, and media. Yeah, his tentacles are in everything. And many of them have multiple tentacles in multiple corners of the planet. according to Gates, there's a terrific video. I really urge you to watch it. It's on the website, www.ontherightsideradio.com. I had the producers put it in two places so you wouldn't miss it. One is right under the audio bar for those who are listening on podcasts and on the website. And by the way, you can listen to old shows there, you new time listeners. And the other is in COVID vaccines. I urge you to watch that video on Bill Gates. In that video, on tape, he actually says that vaccines are the most profitable business in the world. They return about 20 to 1. Let's start giving you a clue as to where we're going here. Gates is promoting the technocratic reset plan. That includes an aggressive climate change agenda. The fact that all these people are top polluters doesn't really matter to them because they are above us, folks. And Gates 2.0, where he rebranded himself as one of the world's most generous philanthropists, this is where he does much of his damage. Much of his damage. There was an article in AgriWatch, and it's called Philanthrocapitalism. The Gates Foundation's African programs are not charity. I quote, often expect financial returns or secondary benefits over the long term from their investments in social programs. Philanthropy becomes another part of the engine of profit and corporate control. The Gates Foundation strategy for development actually promotes neoliberal economic policies and corporate globalization. And that is true. You know, he went on 60 Minutes and he talked about basically extreme censorship to combat mistrust in science and to find ways, and I quote, to slow down the crazy stuff that's out there that's not true. You know, as you know, he wants to do synthetic beef. Yes, the cows need to go. Now, it just so happens, oh, what a coincidence, that Mr. Gates owns major interests in all the companies that would be instrumental in manufacturing synthetic beef and its byproducts and waste products. For instance, Beyond Meat, which manufactures artificial beef. He has 250,000 acres of farmland, not the largest owner probably in the country, but right up there, where he can grow the soy that's needed for this artificial meat. Oh, and then, of course, he has, what's the other company that he has going here? Oh, Impossible Foods Factories. And Impossible Foods Factories takes the waste from the genesis of the synthetic meat and turns it into sausage and other goodies for you and me and the rest of the proletariat to eat. I guarantee you, he'll still be eating beef. There is the whole deal with Bill Gates, folks. I'm trying to find a way to explain this in a short way, is that he is the epitome of the oligarch. He is the epitome of the robber barons of old. And he has found ways to insert himself using his money and his so-called philanthropy into all sorts of NGOs, non-government organizations, which work hand in hand and in some cases control government agencies around the world and the UN and the WHO, and directly into government. There is a, let me just give you an idea. His investments include 69 of the worst polluters on the face of the planet, like Exxon and Coca-Cola. Oh, Coca-Cola. You mean double woke Coca-Cola that I've talked about in the last two shows? Where do you think that influence came from? Huh. Start seeing the linkage here. And did you know that he was instrumental a long time ago in conjunction with Big Pharma, although not visibly instrumental, in getting the PrEP Act done, which unfortunately Ronald Reagan signed in 1986, which granted immunity to all these Big Pharma companies for vaccine development. Pretty interesting, huh? What you didn't know was that over time, Mr. Gates and his lobbyists put in a deal where if something goes wrong with a vaccine and somebody sues, they can't sue the pharmaceutical companies. They can't sue the scientists. But they can sue the United States of America. And the United States taxpayers will pay those bills. The vaccine lawsuits, the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, or CICP, which is run through the DHS, and the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, the NOICP. In 2009, he was instrumental in the HPV vaccine, at that time experimental, being injected into at least 24,000 Indian female children. They were told, and their families were told, that it was wellness shots, that they would never get cancer. Well, many of these children developed seizures, other major afflictions, major adverse events, cancer. Seven of them, at least, that we know about, died. And in return, the Indian Parliament did a huge study. I'm going to tell you about it here when we come back in just a moment. But it kicked out the Gates Foundation. The full report, by the way, is called 72nd Report. And guess what? You can find it on the website of the NIH, you know, Dr. Fauci's agency. And before we get done with this little tale that I'm telling you, you're going to see how Fauci and China all tie in a neat little bow, a neat little anti-American bow, to Red China. Let's go back to Bill Gates, a robber baron of the 21st and 20th, for that matter, centuries. So, the 72nd report can be found on the NIH website. There's other reports, by the way, that could be found there. They're buried, but they can be found. In the Journal of Environmental Health, there was a whole article. By the way, this article is also on the NIH website, buried, but you can find it. Bill Gates was behind the experimental oral polio vaccine, which was administered, as far as I can determine, first in India. 491,000, that's 491,000 kids, developed paralysis. In fact, polio became more prevalent in the subject group that got the vaccine than wild polio. Nice job. Nice job. And then he founded Gavi. And Gavi is basically the linchpin of worldwide vaccination theory. And I don't mean just vaccination for COVID, folks. I mean for everything. Because remember, it's a 20-to-1 profit margin. It's like the best investment you can make. And if a few people get paralyzed and, you know, tip over and have cerebral palsy and have other material adverse effects, it's so what? I mean, you know, willing pawns in the chess game of profits. Dr. Annan Lewis, okay, he believes that there was an Africa agenda by Bill Gates, and it had to do with population control. And in fact, he believes that Gates was kind of catapulting on a document that was done by Henry Kissinger and Jimmy Carter called The Implications of Worldwide Population Growth. Basically, it was about African population control so that the Africans, shall we say, wouldn't get populous enough to exploit their own rich mineral resources. Then Mr. Gates was involved in another vaccine brouhaha in South Sudan, where once again many children were sickened, some of them sickened permanently, and 15 died. Protovolatin, you know what that is? It's weather manipulation, folks. It's totally experimental. In fact, a lot of scientists call it a genocide experiment, a human genocide experiment. Well, Mr. Gates believes that on a global scale, we need to cut down sunlight, you know? And when you cut down sunlight, what happens? Oh, less things grow. More people starve. There's less food. There's more control to the people and by the people who control the food sources. You know, like synthetic beef. Oh, yeah, synthetic beef. And basically, he's also done... Well, I mean, it's just unbelievable. He's done a joint venture with an MIT, is involved and has developed an entire surveillance system using hundreds of satellites, many of which are going up as we speak. Others are planned to go up. And this will allow Bill Gates and whoever is the keeper of these satellites to surveil every person and basically every square inch of the on and of the planet Earth. Are you beginning to kind of get the picture of the hell-bent for leather control of and diminishing of population for the sake of profits and power? It is no different, but on a much grander scale, because the technology exists now, than the robber barons of old controlling the railroads, Rockefeller controlling 90% of the oil. It's all the same. It is the same type of personality. It is the same lust for power and lust for profits. Then he has Oxitec. Oxitec, folks, is going to be releasing millions of GMO mosquitoes. I mean, I talked about this a few shows back, and I actually got some emails saying, what, are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. Millions of GMO mosquitoes. And listen, Bill Gates has a plan for them. I mean, it was originally, the idea originally came up to stop malaria, but oh no, let's go a step further. How about we deliver vaccines via these mosquitoes? Not making this up. This is not a science fiction movie. This is real life right now. Right now. Did you know that Bill Gates was a buddy of Epstein, the pedophile? In fact, the New York Times did an article. I'm sure they're sorry they did. Epstein met with him a number of times. They were actually forming a new philanthropic, yes, right, organization together. And Bill Gates actually flew on the Lolita Express. Of course, he denies all this, of course. And look, the borium, the aluminum, the calcium chloride, the seawater that he wants to spray, and by the way, is being sprayed in the contrails of jets right now across the world. He wants to release even more of it in monstrous balloons. It's just terrific. You know, Gates, I guarantee you, along with Soros for different reasons, is a major impetus behind the squad and the alt-left's clamor for the Green New Deal. You take COVID, and you take the Green New Deal, and you take the fear of, we're all going to die because, you know, there's too much sunshine, and the earth is going to dry up, and we're all going to incinerate, oh my God! And you couple that with, if you don't wear this mask, and you don't get this shot, you're going to tip over before the earth is incinerated from COVID. Because fear is what they deal in, folks. Fear is what they deal in. And they are aptly assisted, as you're going to see this morning, by Red China. Because all this is just yummy stuff to Red China. You know, Gates and his cabal get to have the power, the ultimate power of the ultimate robber barons. China gets to be the policeman. You remember when I told you about how they want to be, they want to join hands with WHO to enforce the vaccination and vaccine passport deal? Told you about that last week. I have more to tell you this week. This is like tailor-made. Everything is moving in concert. The alt-left, radical Islam, the robber barons, Gates, Soros, and the rest of them, and Red China. And the target is America. Because only America and only Americans are the bulwark against world domination by these monstrous and dark forces. And besides weather and health and speech, what other types of things give people who want control absolute control? How about food? You know, he started supporting GMOs in 1994. And Agri Magazine, in another article, talked about, quote, his long-term strategy of mastery over agriculture and food production globally, unquote. There was a 2020 study called False Promises, the Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa. And it was the report card on Gates's cartel, that's what he has, just like the robber barons of old, on the 14-year effort at that point. Here was the conclusion. The number of Africans suffering extreme hunger has increased by 30% in the 18 countries that Gates targeted. Rural poverty, I'm quoting now, has metastasized dramatically. Rural populations in Africa have become slaves, really, on their own land. All the stuff that they used to do that worked, that supported their community and themselves and their families, has been replaced kind of by a serfdom. High-tech inputs, mechanization, rigid schedules, burdensome conditionalities, credits and subsidies. The only people that are benefiting from this program are Gates and his buddies and his international corporate partners, which include some of those companies that the Gates Foundation is heavily, heavily invested in. You know, that kind of brings us to the health part. COVID. Gates has played a leading role, as we all know, in the global response to the COVID pandemic. Some say that he had a hand in the negligent responses to older folks and nursing homes in the five Dem states where a bunch of poor older folks were killed by Cuomo, Whitmer, Murphy, and other blue state gov policies. But he funded, and I talked about this back in March, I mean, way back, March of 2020, when we started hearing these reports about 2.2 million people were going to die, and, you know, 10 billion, that was the United States, and 100 million could die around the world, and billions were going to be infected. That was all based on a study by the IHME, that is the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, which, by the way, is headquartered in Seattle. Oh, who lives there? That's right, Bill Gates. The IHME, folks, is funded and completely controlled by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And the modeling so-called experts at the Gates-funded IHME are the ones who raise the alarm about hospitals about to be overrun, people tipping over in the street, if you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't shut down. And of course, the willing water carrier for this was, yes, Tony Fauci, and to a lesser degree, Dr. Birx. And they modeled the perfect response to these alarming, and as we find out, completely spurious projections, as the lockdowns, destroying the economy. And where did they get that idea? Oh, they got that idea from Red China, who pretended to lock down everything, really did not, but then promoted lockdowns to the Western world as the only way to control the virus, which originated in the Wuhan lab, which was financed by Fauci and Gates back in 2015. Do you kind of see how all this ties in? And you think all this was happen chance? None of this was happen chance. So the IHME projections, which were spouted by Fauci to Trump, and on which Trump acted based on the recommendations of people he at that time trusted, and I guarantee you no longer does, basically, everything that occurred can be traced back to the globalist cabal, the face of which is Bill Gates on COVID. Red China, who with Fauci and American and Obama money, we're going to be talking about Obama here in a minute too, created the gain in function in this coronavirus in the Wuhan lab, and then, oh gee, I know this isn't PC, deliberately released it and absolutely positively allowed it to spread around the world. Do you remember when Fauci said to Trump, oh, you don't need to shut down travel to China? That wasn't a medical prognostication. That was because he wanted infections in the United States to skyrocket quickly. It was part of the Fauci, China, Gates, Obama, alt-left plan, folks. It was not a mistake. It was intentional. Trump didn't listen to him. You know, Windows 10, which is, of course, Microsoft. Windows 10, folks, did you know that it records your keystrokes? And some say that it has been recently modified so that it can listen to everything you are saying. My computer is listening to me right now. Your computer is listening to you. Listen to me right now. Do you understand how deep and sinister and on how many levels and tangents these tentacles extend? And coming up next, I'll tell you how this ties in to everything he's done before and the microchip devices with remote-controlled drug delivery he and Fauci and the others are working on. So like any true progressive, Saul Alinsky's playbook, you know, whenever you're confronted with a fact, you deny, you deny, you deny, and then you divert. We're going to be talking about that several times this morning. So Gates did a TED Talk in June of 2020. And in a December 11th, 2020 article, The Defender, a magazine, presented the proof that he talked about a vaccine, a digital vaccine passport. And he is working. He's invested tens of millions of dollars into microchip devices that can remotely control drug delivery, that will track your whereabouts in concert with his satellite system that he's putting up with MIT. And basically, if you think you're tracked now by Google and the rest of them, you ain't seen nothing yet. What's coming down the pike at us? He says, of course, that he really never talked about a vaccine passport. He never talked about digital vaccine markers. It's all nonsense. He's on tape. On tape. Look, whether or not the COVID-19 pandemic was intentional, a brilliant but devious and dark plan to accomplish the ends that you're seeing beginning to formulate right now, or just a happen chance that opportunistic people like Gates and Xi and China and Fauci took full advantage of, manipulated, fostered, and enhanced for their own gain, both financial, power, and ideological. The result is the same. And that brings us really right into our little COVID update, because it all revolves around the same cast of players. So it is absolutely incontrovertible that the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the NIAID, that's, you know, NIH Fauci, funded the gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And by the way, it started in 2015. It went on as recently as 2019, documents are now showing. And I've talked about these two people before, Fauci and a guy by the name of Peter Daszak, D-A-S-Z-A-K, who was the guy who actually went out and collected the coronavirus bat specimens 900 kilometers from Wuhan that Fauci and Obama's money, then financed the lab technicians in Wuhan to exploit, should we say, to make more deadly, to make more transmissible. As early as March 2020, Fauci knew that 90%, that's 90%, I've been jumping up and down about this for more than a year, folks, of the positive PCR tests, this is the ones where they stick the swab up your nose and give you a lobotomy, were false positives. He did nothing. He said nothing. Instead, he fueled the flames of fear because he wanted to perpetuate this entire myth that this pandemic was lethal and that we had to lock down and we had to wear the masks and we had to wear the goggles and we had to wear the gloves and the whole nine yards. Do you understand how all this worked? He is in bed with Tedros, who is an admitted Marxist-Leninist from Africa and the director of the WHO, who is in bed with China. And guess who funds, guess who is the largest funder of WHO after the United States was taken out of WHO? Biden's about to put us back. Oh, yeah. Gates. That's right. In fact, I'm going to tell you a little something here, just a moan about Gates and the WHO. So the whole deal, I give you only this. We're going to go into this in much more detail next week, how all these threads tie together. There is there's a book out by the by an author by the name of Bregin. It just came out, B-R-E-G-G-I-N. And basically, this guy does a great job of exposing Fauci's deep ties to China, deep ties to WHO, deep ties to Gates, and deep ties to an ideology which includes the Green New Deal. Do you remember when Fauci said, oh, we all have to live more harmoniously with the planet so that we can avoid future pandemics? Let me interpret that for you. Green New Deal, folks. Complete control. That is what it is. There was, in July 2020, four German attorneys, they founded a kind of Corona extra-parliamentary inquiry, if you will. And I can't pronounce the German name of it. I'm not even going to try. One of the key players in this was a gal by the name of Astrid Stuckelberger, S-T-U-C-K-E-L-B-E-R-G-E-R, a Ph.D., she's a WHO insider, and what she recently came out with as a whistleblower about Bill Gates and Gavi, okay, the vaccine alliance that he founded that is financed by the Gates Foundation and who works closely with the WHO and Fauci, etc., she was a deputy director of the Swiss National Program of Aging since the 90s. She was president of the WHO-funded Geneva International Network on Aging. She's an internationally recognized expert. This is not a slouch. And she has published a dozen books and 180 peer-reviewed scientific articles. I mean, she's a big deal. She's a really big deal. And although we're going to get into it in detail next week, according to her, Switzerland is the heart of the corruption that has to do with vaccines and this false fear-mongering of a non-pandemic. And Switzerland is the heart because it is the headquarters for Gavi, the vaccine alliance founded by, oh yes, our robber baron friend of 2021, Bill Gates. In 2009, you'll love this. In 2009, Bill Gates, using his money and his influence, got Gavi, the Gavi Vaccine Alliance, recognized as an international institution. As such, Gavi was granted total immunity. You know, supposedly Gavi has no political power that would warrant this diplomatic style immunity that it obtained. And Gavi's immunity clauses, folks, go even beyond that of diplomats. Gavi's immunity covers all aspects of engagement, including criminal business dealings. That's right. Quote, they can do whatever they want, this is Stuckelberger, without repercussions. The police, for example, are barred from conducting an investigation and collecting evidence if Gavi were to be implicated in a criminal investigation. It's shocking. By the way, Gavi is also tax exempt. Oh, there we have our profit motive again, which Stuckelberger notes is quote unquote very strange. So bottom line is you have Gavi, basically an NGO. It pays no taxes. It has total immunity for anything they do wrong, willfully, otherwise, criminal, non-criminal. And it raises a host of questions. Because Gavi, according to Stuckelberger, is, quote, directing as a corporate entity the WHO, end quote. Now, it went so far that Gates in 2017, remember, he's the major funder of the WHO. Gates wanted to be a part of WHO's executive board. That's the same status given to a member state, like the United States used to be, and I guess will be again, and that China is. Oh, yeah, China. And basically, he used his funding as a club. Now, whether or not he ever got that seat, nobody knows, including Stuckelberger, but she knows that he wields the power of having a seat, the equivalent power of having a seat, whether he has one or not. And coming up, I'm going to tell you some startling things which have come out of the WHO since Gates exerted his control. Globalist things that will curl your hair. I'm spending the time on this, folks, so that you understand the forces that are arrayed against us and how long they have been plotting and planning what we see unfolding right now. Back in 2009, because of the swine flu epidemic, which originated, China. Gee, it's amazing. The other huge influence on WHO besides Bill Gates. The definition used to be, when a new influenza virus appears against which the human population has no immunity, resulting in several simultaneous epidemics worldwide with enormous numbers of deaths and illness. The change they made was taking out the words enormous numbers of deaths and illness. Now, they removed the severity and the high mortality criteria, which kept the definition of a pandemic as simply, quote, a worldwide epidemic of a disease. Well, whatever. I mean, you can see how all this has been manipulated into the pandemic, or as I call it, the scamdemic. But from here, the darkness grows opaque with Gates and China and the rest of the crew, including Fauci, trimming the sails, kicking the rudders. This was the definition of herd immunity in June of 2020 of WHO. Quote, herd immunity is the indirect protection from an infectious disease that happens when a population is immune either through vaccination or immunity developed through previous infection. Then in October 2020, gee, right before the election, it was changed by the WHO to say, quote, herd immunity, also known as population immunity, is a concept used for vaccination, in which a population can be protected from a certain virus if a threshold of vaccination is reached. Herd immunity is achieved by protecting people from a virus, not by exposing them to it. Vaccines train our immune systems to create proteins that fight disease, known as antibodies, just as would happen when we were exposed to a disease, but crucially, vaccines work without making us sick. Vaccinated people are protected from getting the disease in question and passing it on, breaking any chains of transmission. With herd immunity, the vast majority of a population are vaccinated, lowering the overall amount of virus able to spread in the whole population, unquote. By the way, there was a huge backlash against this. So the WHO, and the people that run the WHO, changed it on December 31st, 2020, once again. This is now how it reads. Herd immunity, also known as population immunity, is the indirect protection from an infectious disease that happens when a population is immune either through vaccination or immunity developed through previous infection. Who supports achieving herd immunity through vaccination? Not by allowing a disease to spread through any segment of a susceptible population. I'm going to end it here for this show, but I think you can see how all these forces have combined, how they've intertwined, how they thread together on this COVID nonsense, which has been used to do, control, and subjugate the populations of the world and to deprive Americans of their rights. I mean, their basic rights. Since the inception of this scamdemic. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to do our rat-a-tat-tat. And I'm going to make it quick because we got a lot of stuff to cover. And, you know, once again, we're halfway through the show. It's amazing. Joe Biden. His Department of Health and Human Services. And this is a month ago. Stopped all executive orders from Trump, which were designed to lower prescription drug prices, including for insulin and epinephrine. So, do you thank Joe for higher drug prices? In the last week, we have seen an admission by the White House that Joe Biden and Barack Obama talk frequently. You know, they chat as old friends. Now, I have told you since the beginnings of Joe Biden's presidency and Barack Obama's endorsement that Barack Obama is behind this presidency. Barack Obama is the president of the United States, whether it's in direct communication with Joe or in direct communication with the minions behind Joe, particularly Susan Rice of Benghazi fame, you know, the video of Benghazi fame, who is Biden's senior advisor. I mean, Obama might as well be sitting in the White House himself. But it was nice to see it. It's nice to see other media finally catching on to what's going on here. And it's nice to see that admission by the White House that Obama is in it thickly. And Obama, folks, I guarantee you, is running the show. You know, H.R. 1, you know, the bill that basically tries to nationalize elections. I've talked to you about several times. I'm not going to go over all those points. Here's a few more nice little tidbits that will warm your heart that I'm going to bring to your attention that I just discovered this past week. Members of Congress would be entitled to taxpayer money to fund their campaigns. This is the House of Representatives. $5 million each, folks. Isn't that great? And then Congress, this is number two, Congress will be committed to delivering full congressional voting rights to the District of Columbia, that's Washington, D.C., so that they could bypass a vote on statehood for D.C., which they couldn't get the votes to do. Two more little tidbits in H.R. 1 for you. Let's go out to Riverside, California. Tracy and Miles Albert. They buy this nice house. They're all excited. They're going to move in. They paid cash for it. They had a closing. They got the deed. It was recorded. And you know what? The guy who sold to him says, I'm not moving out. And you know what? Because of Gruesome Newsom's nonsense out there, they can't get him out of the house because there's a moratorium on evictions. Wow. Can't make that up, right? Then we have this, he must be a true American. True American. This is a guy who has a problem. And this gentleman, by the way, his name is Damon Young. And he wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times. He's the editor-in-chief of VSB. I'm just going to quickly read it to you. White supremacy is a virus that, like other viruses, will not die until there are no bodies left for it to infect, which means the only way to stop it is to locate it, isolate it, extract it, and kill it. I guess a vaccine would work too, but we've had 400 years to develop one, so I would not, I would not hold my breath. Yeah, well, he goes on to say, by the way, whiteness is a public health crisis. It shortens life expectancies. It pollutes air. It constricts equilibrium. It devastates forests. It melts ice caps. It sparks and funds wars. It flattens dialects, and it infects consciousness. Gee, I kind of like this unity theme, don't you? On the economic front, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this, if I have time in this show, because it's important that you know. New home sales, you probably haven't been following this. New home sales tumble more than expected. In fact, they dropped to 775,000 in February. And they had expected sales to go down to 875,000 from the 923,000 in January. This is a really big drop, folks. Now, there's things that might be attributed to it. You know, weather here and weather there, and the winter months are normally slower. But there's some other much bigger macroeconomics at play. We've talked about it. I think you've noticed that gas has gone up almost a dollar a gallon, 75 cents to a dollar a gallon across the country, gas and diesel. I got a notice the other day from a local lumber yard that the big mills, anybody who wants to order lumber, the big mills will not hold their prices more than 24 hours in advance. That's unheard of. That's unheard of. And I told you several weeks ago that the price of lumber per 1,000 board feet has gone to over $1,000, close to $1,100 per 1,000 board feet. 6 months ago, it was $300 per 1,000 board feet. May I suggest to you, I'm going to go off the rat-a-tat-tat for just a moment, that interest rates are rising. I've talked to you about that. Long-term interest rates, therefore mortgage rates, are rising. Number two, people just don't have the dough. Number three, when people can't sell their house, they can't buy your house, or they can't buy the builder's house. Number four, the demand for housing has pushed up prices, and the incredible rise in the cost of building materials has pushed up prices. When you combine these factors, you have a vast swath of the potential buyers of housing cut out of the market. They can no longer qualify for a mortgage. Keep your eyes on this bellwether, and keep your eyes on used home or existing home sales. Very important if you own real estate out there and you're planning to buy or sell in the next 3 to 6 months. In the Northwest, of course, Oregon to be exact, you're just going to love this, okay? This is kind of along the theme of that editor from DVM. They put out a pamphlet to all their teachers up there in Oregon. Quote, white supremacy culture infiltrates math classrooms in everyday teacher actions. Coupled with the beliefs that underlie these actions, they perpetuate educational harm on minority students, denying them full access to the world of mathematics. While supremacy culture infiltrates math classrooms in everyday teacher actions, coupled with the beliefs that underlie these actions, they perpetuate educational harm. You know, first of all, did you know who funded that whole kind of theory? Do you know who funded the pamphlets, the printing of the pamphlets that went out to all the teachers in Oregon? Ah, yes, the Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Here we are back to the robber baron once again. Let me continue. You're going to really love this. You folks up there in Oregon, if you have kids in public schools, you need to get this crap out of the classroom, or you need to get the kids out of the classroom. And anybody else, anywhere else, I'm going to be talking about it, what we can do, what we need to do to get this ship from tipping over, this ship of state of America. Let me finish. Often the emphasis is placed on learning math in the real world. I'm quoting from this pamphlet. As if our classrooms are not part of the real world. This reinforces the notion of either or thinking, because math is only seen as useful when it is in a particular context. However, this can result in using mathematics to uphold capitalist and imperialist ways of being and understandings of the world. And in the pamphlet, I might add, they actually say that getting the right answer to a math question is not important. It's only understanding the concept. And of course, within these parameters that I just gave you. Isn't that terrific? Biden's tax stuff. It's coming at you. I've talked about it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because we don't know the parameters, but they are looking uglier and uglier. But you know, one thing that we can absolutely rely on with the Marxist Democrats, the globalists, the radical Islamists, and that means our Democratic Congress and our administration right now, unfortunately, is that they don't tell the truth. Just take a look at the border stuff, right? I mean, just as one example. Take a look at, they're trying to cover for Joe's, shall we say, existence as a cadaver at the Resolute desk. And next, I'll tell you what this big lie is that's going to affect millions and millions of us. It's fully undisclosed, in fact, purposely concealed. And in the meantime, you can ponder it. Okay, the big tax lie. Well, a small portion of the big tax lie, which is a small portion of the overall lie. Yeah, $400,000. If you make less than $400,000, you're not going to see your taxes go up. Oh, gee. Jen Psaki slipped last week in a news conference. Guess what? That $400,000 applies to couples. Couples filing jointly. And you know what? Oh, my. If the couple together makes $400,000, then both of them are going to see the higher taxes. Let's take, for instance, I don't want to get in trouble with the feminists, a gal that's making $250,000 a year, and her guy is making $150,000 a year. That's right. They're both going to pay taxes on their incomes because the two of them together meet the $400,000 threshold. And you folks in the big cities who are listening to this know that $400,000, it sounds like a lot. It doesn't go very far, does it? Ford Motor. They signed an agreement back in 2019 thinking, you know, Trump was going to be reelected and the America First policies would continue. And the agreement was with the United Auto Workers Union, the UAW. And they were going to spend $1 billion to update their Avon, Ohio assembly plant. Quote, for a next generation product to be added in 2023, this is probably electric cars or whatever. But it seems that now that Biden's starting to show his hand and the tax and spend strategies of the Marxist Democrats, which they promised it. China has promised what they're going to do to America. The Marxist Democrats in Congress promised what they were going to do to America. You are a fool not to believe their promises. Ford Motor is now going to build that plant in Mexico. How many jobs is that? Good job there, cadaver. Nice job. Or should I say Barry? You know, Barry is the guy who's holding the cadaver up behind the chair at the Resolute desk. Nancy Pelosi. Yes. She's talking about the Dreamers, and she says, this is just last week, indeed they, the Dreamers, are the true and legitimate heirs, these Dreamers are, of our founders. E pluribus unum, from many one. We talk about that all the time. Well, you know, Nancy, does that mean I'm an heir of France, or I'm an heir of Japan, or, you know, of the Netherlands? Do I get their financial support because I'm their heir? I mean, wow. there's not the countries I live in. The United States of America is not the country that these people were born in or are citizens of. Our founders, by the way, in juxtaposition to Nancy's insane statement, our founders, let's take Alexander Hamilton. Quote, in the recommendation to admit indiscriminately foreign immigrants of every description to the privileges of American citizens on their first entrance into our country, there is an attempt to break down every pale which has been erected for the preservation of a national spirit and a national character. Exactly right. James Madison, let's see what he thought. Quote, it is no doubt very desirable that we should hold out as many inducements as possible for the worthy part of mankind to come and settle amongst us and throw their fortunes into a common lot with ours. But why is this desirable? Not merely to swell the catalog of people. No, sir. It is to increase the wealth and strength of the community and those who acquire the rights of citizenship. And I have a bunch more rat-a-tat-tat for you, but we're going to have to get to it next week, along with next week's rat-a-tat-tat, because we got stuff we must cover in this show. I've been putting it off way too long. Let's start off with some good court decisions. In Michigan, State Court of Claims, they ruled that the Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, by the way, I misspoke, said I juxtaposed Michigan with Pennsylvania last week, my apologies. She violated state law when she changed the law without legislative approval. And this had to do with absentee ballots, about 400,000 ballots. In Wisconsin, the state Supreme Court ruled election officials, including Governor Tony Evers, oh, he's a winner, lacked authority to let healthy voters ignore the state's voter ID requirements by declaring themselves indefinitely confined. Once again, hundreds of thousands of votes. In Virginia, a circuit court judge permanently banned the State Department of Elections policy to allow ballots without postmarks after Election Day. Tens of thousands of ballots. And in Arizona and Georgia, courts have now ruled that access to voting data for two key counties that basically swung those elections. Remember, Arizona was 15 or 16,000 votes, and Georgia was like 12,000 votes. And those two counties where the fraud occurred are now going to be fully audited, hand-counted, and including complete forensic reviews of the machines. That should be pretty interesting. That's Maricopa County, by the way, in Arizona, and Fulton County in Georgia. Remember Fulton County that had the leak that didn't? Whatever. To date, there's been 85 cases related to the 2020 election fraud. This is to shut up your left-wing friends who tell you you lost every case. Only 22 of those cases were decided on the merit. And 15 of those cases, Trump and his legal team have prevailed, which is 68% of all the cases which actually had a hearing. Now, all that's fine and good, but the bottom line is that there's a lot that we have to do, and that means each and every one of us, and we have to get started right now. First of all, let's talk about getting rid of the rhinos. I mean, we have to cleanse the Republican Party of Republicans in name only. You know, the Liz Cheneys and the Blunts and that moron from up there in Washington State, I believe he's from. These people have to go. And they have to go at the state legislative level. They have to go at the federal level. They have to go in your county. They have to go in your city. They have to go in your school board. These people must be replaced by true conservatives who are going to toe the line of conservatism, the Constitution, faith, family, and freedom. And there's only one way to get this done, folks. Obviously, we do not have control of the federal government right now, though we have a good shot at taking the House. We might even have a good shot given six rhino Republican resignations or announced resignations in the Senate to cleanse the party and take back the Senate. But I think we need to focus on the House. You know, if you want to kill a duck, you shoot at the duck, not at the flock. We need to, number one, take control of our Republican parties at the local level. Take a look at what the DSA, the Democratic Socialist Marxists, did in taking control of the Nevada Democratic Party. I told you a little bit about it several shows ago. You don't go out and start a fight with these establishment Republicans locally. You keep quiet. You go to the meetings. You don't say a word. You decide how many people are there that are going to vote with you and how many people are there that are not going to vote with you. And you pick a time and a place for those elections, and you flood the zone. I mean, it's a Democratic playbook. Flood the zone with people who are going to vote with you for conservative replacements to the local Republican establishment. That's how you get control of your Republican Party at the local level, which then starts driving candidates for state legislature and for Congress. Do you see how all this works? It flows from the bottom up, which is the way the Republic is supposed to flow. Now, one of the things that I really, really, really want to emphasize is not only do you need to control of your Republican Party at the local level, you need to get control of the school board. I mean, I gave you some examples. I didn't even get into some of the others that I had tonight and the rat-a-tat-tat I had planned. But you need to get control of your county commission. You need to get control of your city government, your city council. You need to get control of your school board. I mean, our children are being taught anti-American, pro-Marxist, anti-family, red Chinese, literally red Chinese dogma. And teachers have to go, administrators have to go. And the only way you get teachers to go and administrators to go and to control the curriculum is to control the school board. The second thing you have to focus on, you have to make sure that you have a great sheriff. The sheriffs, folks, you know, the county level government, is your probably best line of defense against the nonsense that is coming out of Washington, D.C. You know, they can pass all the gun laws they want, and to the extent they're not struck by a Supreme Court, guess who's going to enforce those laws or prevent their enforcement? Your local sheriff. Local sheriffs are key. Your local prosecutors. George Soros has done a great job of infiltrating DAs and prosecutors across the nation by flooding the zone with money and getting wild-eyed crazies into those positions. We have to reverse that process. You need a prosecutor who is going to uphold law and order, your local laws, and the Constitution. Otherwise, there is no law. And this country is based on the rule of law. Next, you have to get your legislatures in shape. The rhinos have to go. The conservatives have to go in. And you need to pepper these guys, all these people, I might add, incessantly. You know, make a call once a week. Get 10 of your friends lined up to make a call once a week. Send an email every 2 weeks. Get 10 of your friends to send an email every 2 weeks. This is easy stuff. You can get this kind of stuff done in an hour or two a week. Is your future and the future of your country and the security of your family and your freedoms worth an hour or two a week? Please, of course it is. Look, there is no way that we're going to stop the onslaught other than kind of a rear guard legal action of what's going on in D.C. Now, we can apply pressure to vulnerable Democrats in the House. We can apply pressure to Sinema from Arizona and Manchin from West Virginia in the Senate. And that's going to work a little bit of the time. But I'll tell you what it's not going to do. It's not going to stop the tsunami, the overall tsunami. That has to come from the states up. The 10th Amendment is inviolate. The Constitution is inviolate, so long as we don't have a packed Supreme Court. Here's what you need to ask your state legislatures to do. They need to revise the laws immediately. Number one, there can be no outside contributions or payments to poll workers or for ballot collections, you know, like the $450 million that data man Zuckerberg put into the elections last year. Totally illegal. Of course, nothing will happen to him. The state house has to send the electors, not the governor, not the secretary of state. The state house has to make and enforce the laws governing elections. Absentee ballots, signature verification, the counting, the stopping of the countings. You know, there should be no stopping of counting of votes, period. Okay, the types of machines which are used, the audits of those machines. I mean, I can go all the way down the list. You know the frauds that were committed. You need to pepper your legislature for laws which basically blunt the election theft that we were faced with in 2020. I can't tell you how key it is. Coming up, some more specifics that you need to ask of your state legislature and make sure they get done. So some more specifics on what we can do, what we need to get our state legislatures to do to blunt HB1 and to eliminate the election fraud we've experienced in 2020, 2018, and prior to that. Number one, voter ID. Free in every state, with proof of citizenship at the time you get the ID, period. Number two, driver's license must specify whether U.S. citizen or not. Number three, my suggestion is no machines. Forget the machines. Paper ballots only. Hand count only. Full review of hand-counted ballots at the end of each election, upon request by either party, and a set chain of custody rule to handle these paper ballots, or any ballots if there's going to be a partial machine count. And that, by the way, includes all components, including the envelope that any legal absentee ballots received by election night closing of the polls counts. And that brings us to number four. The polls close, that's it. No more ballots. Polls close. Polling places only for voting. None of these drop boxes that Zuckerberg funded everywhere just in Democratic districts that are so easy to stuff, manipulate, haul bags out of after voting is stopped, you know, 3 in the morning the day after election. Number six, absentee ballots with an affidavit and proof that this is the voter casting the ballot. And 30 days, no sooner. You cannot send an absentee ballot more than 30 days before to 3 days before an election. A 27-day window, that's plenty of time for people to get it done. No more blanket mail-in ballots, period. End of story. Stop the presses. Number seven, particularly the ones in China. Number seven, matching signatures to a state database. If the signature on the envelope does not match the signature on the ballot, and neither or either of those signatures do not match the state database for the signatures, then that ballot is defective and is cast aside. And clean the voter rolls, or there's a penalty to the states that do not, by the federal government or by the legislature. You know, the legislature controls the purse strings in the states, just like Congress controls the purse strings at the federal level. Punish the agencies that don't comply. Once they start having to fire people, they'll get the message. So those are all the things you need to ask for. Those are the things you need to do. And listen, you need to put up some dollars, folks. It's great to write the letters. It's great to get 10 people involved. It's great to get those 10 people to each get 10 people involved. That is terrific. But you know, all this takes money. Fund the outfits that are suing the hell out of Biden and the federal government, and in some cases the state governments, on your behalf. I'll give you one this morning, judicialwatch.org. These guys rock. They're everywhere, and they are right in the middle of the vote integrity and election fraud nonsense going on. Judicialwatch.org. I'll have more for you in the future. Number two, send 10 bucks, send 20 bucks. Look for the matches. You know, many of these campaigns have 3X, 4X, 5X matches. You send in 10 bucks, the campaign gets 60 bucks. Contribute to your state legislative races. Excuse me. Contribute to your congressional races. You know, that gun control bill passed 217 to 212. That was with two rhino Republicans voting for it. That means, or to 210, excuse me. That means 217 to 212 was a real margin with no rhinos involved. That's just five votes in the House, folks. Just five. Contribute to those congressional campaigns. Obviously, contribute to the local campaigns, and you can contribute far less because most of those campaigns involve far less money. School board, county offices, the sheriff, etc. Take some dough out of your pocket. Is it worth $1,000 in campaign contributions over the course of this year to potentially save yourself, let's just put it in economic terms, tens of thousands of dollars in taxes, your gun rights, your freedoms, the First Amendment? Of course it is. Get involved. Stand up. If you can't get people to run for office that you can throw your weight behind, run for office yourself. We're out of time on this. Time is not our ally. If these Democratic Marxists at every level of government get their policies entrenched, and we can't dislodge them in the courts, and we can't dislodge them at the polling places, and they control the elections, and they control our kids' minds, the outcome will be less than pretty for America and for all of us. Way less than pretty. And by the way, it'll be way less than pretty for the entire world, because we are the last line of defense for the world. That is why we are under attack. And in this country, we're the last line of defense for the country. You and me and all of those listening to me and listening to others like me, we're the last line of defense for the country, and that is why they're after us. It's just as simple as that. To give you an idea how important this is, and the Democrats recognize how important this is, here's what Schumer said last week. State voting laws are one of the greatest threats to our democracy. Does that tell you how important this is? You bet it does. Listen, if we're going to get all this done, we have to be secure. I'm going to be bringing you some economic news. I brought you a little bit tonight, this morning, excuse me. And it is really important that you are stable. Goes back to the old rule, you know, you get on the airplane, they say, put on your oxygen mask before you help anybody else. That's one of the things you have to do. One of the things I'm going to point you at is there's an audiobook. It was free as of a few months ago. I don't know if it is now. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. And it's from Natural News. Listen, some of the stuff is, you know, you probably don't want to listen to, but a lot of the stuff is terrific. And I suggest that you get it. The Global Reset Survival Guide, 2020-2025. You can go to naturalnews.com, and you should be able to still get the free download. If you can't, please let me know. We will try and get a copy from them and put it up on the website so you can have it. There's some very good suggestions in it, mixed in amongst some other stuff. I'm not going to have time to cover China today, unfortunately. It's okay, because the Red Chinese are the Red Chinese. They've told us what they're going to do, and all I'm doing is bringing you proof of the pudding and the proof of their infiltration and with the treasonous actors in the United States government and in the United States business. So I'm going to put that on hold till next week. I do want to talk to you about gun control. So we had these mass shootings. We had this mass shooting in Atlanta. And I've talked about this on previous shows. Many of you new listeners have not heard them. And then we had the mass shooting in Boulder. Now, everything is cast in race, obviously. I didn't even get to the rat-a-tat, the other race nonsense in the rat-a-tat-tat this morning. The suspect in Boulder, Alissa, I mean, Syrian, a radical Islamist, they can tell by the posts and by his associations. But here's the key thing. The key thing is that, number one, Colorado has universal background checks. It didn't do squat. This is exactly the thing that they want to go one step further with the registry. But this is what the Democrat Marxists in Congress are crying for. Here's a perfect example of a law they want to pass that already exists that did squat. More importantly, the FBI had this guy on their radar. He had a long record of violence. His brother called him, I'll be kind, unstable and paranoid. Yet they didn't pick anything up. There was no anything on his record when he did his NICS report that would have prohibited him from buying a gun. The gentleman, I use that term advisedly, in Atlanta. And they're trying to make that a race thing. Okay? If you look at these guys and you look at the other mass shooters, and I've talked about this before, put the pictures of them, it'll take you 10 minutes to get them up on Google. Put the pictures of them side by side on your screen. Do you notice anything? They all have the same vacant, out of it, detached, druggy look. And you will find there was a study done that almost 99% of the 4,494, whatever it was in that neighborhood, mass shootings, that's four or more people, around the world, people were on psychotropic drugs. I've done whole shows on mind control. Don't you find it a little bit coincidental that right at the time these gun bills are in the Senate and these gun bills are in the House and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that you have these two mass shootings? There are no coincidences. There is mind control abilities that the Russians have and that the Americans have. I've done shows on them. On therightsideradio.com, type in mind control in the search bar, listen. They can erase memory, they can substitute memory, and they can trigger actions with the use of radio frequencies. This is not science fiction. This is real stuff. I think that there's a lot more at play here than meets the eye. And that's about the wrap-up for this show, folks. We'll be talking more about these matters in coming shows. Unfortunately, I'd much rather be talking fishing and hunting with you. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.